the show.
Hey guys.
Hi. Oh yeah, we're doing this. Let's do it.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Who are you?
You know, same old, same old.
Oh. Well, I'm Julie McCullough. Welcome to the Soft Spot.
And I'm Meg Malloy.
Yay. We're very excited about today's episode. A near and dear friend of ours is here. And we're psyched about his topic. So stick around for another 5 minutes if you want to find out what that's gonna be.
It's always exciting when someone picks something that we're excited to talk about.
Absolutely.
I'm always excited to learn stuff about what other people's soft spots are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there hasn't been anything that we've done that I just totally didn't know at all.
Right.
But it's always nice whenever it's kind of your soft spot.
Except Aaron Gloria Ryan's PBS
Ghostwriter?
Show. Ghostwriter.
I knew about that one.
Oh, you
one.
Knew that one?
You didn't know about that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I forgot that you knew about it.
Yeah.
We went to the Mall of America this week.
We did.
Yeah. Spent, I would say, too much time there.
Yeah. I don't know if this is like a real fact, but I'm going to go ahead and call it maybe one of the meth capitals of America.
Yeah. Yeah. We saw some
What a crowd, man.
Yeah.
What?
It's in Bloomington, Minnesota, which is right outside the airport.
We met some really lovely people, but also... I don't know if you guys follow me on Instagram, but I posted a pretty crazy thing in my stories of a lady singing on stage.
Oh, yeah.
And that was pretty indicative of how the weekend went.
Yeah.
It was pretty weird.
She sang the Beatles classic Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't heard that song until you hear it on that story. Oh, it's probably gone.
Yeah. I'll repost it for
everybody.
Yeah, we got to
repost it. It's pretty great. Did the Mystery Mine. So Mall of America, if you don't know, has a theme park in the middle of it. That's how it's the biggest mall in North America.
It always looks kind of overcast in there because
yeah,
they have these weird gray skylights.
Yeah, it's like weird. It's like they're like, we can do whatever we want with the lighting in this place. What's everybody's favorite? Hazy and overcast?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So the whole thing kind of feels like you just stepped inside of like a car dealership or mm-hmm. something that's like covered in windows to like dodge a storm.
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe.
Or when you have a nightmare, but it's light in the nightmare, like mm-hmm. it's like bright,
yeah.
but you're still running from monsters. It's kind of like that kind of thing.
Totally.
But we did one ride. We did the Mystery Mine, which is a 5D experience.
And Julian was shitting his pants.
Yeah.
And I was trying not to barf because I got a sensitive tummy.
It's one of those ones where you sit in like a stationary wagon and then it moves with the screen.
It's virtual reality.
Virtual, yeah. And you're wearing 3D. The three of the D's come from the glasses.
Three of the D's.
And then the two other D's are, I guess, movement. Because it moves with the screen,
right.
And then they splash you with water randomly, and water is the fifth dimension.
Yeah, and I just don't even want to know where that water came from.
And it was scary. The ride was scary. You go through this like fictionalized like dark mine, and it moves with it, and it's like an Indiana Jones type ride.
Right. I would say I was equally as scared by the people who were riding with us.
Yeah, and their parenting decisions. They brought like a 3-year-old into this thing.
Yeah, it was a little weird to be in such close proximity in a dark room to a whole family who's clearly something wasn't right.
Oh, are you referring to the meth?
The meth fam.
But what
meth
do you
family
do?
Vacation 2018 if, Mall of America.
If you think about it, what do you do when you're on meth as a family? You go to a 5D experience.
You probably
you know what I mean?
Would. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're gonna really do it, just go for it.
We found some sales.
We did.
We did.
We didn't really leave the mall a whole lot, so I can't really speak for any area outside of the mall.
It was kind of like Total Recall. I felt like if we went outside, our faces would fall off or something like that.
Yeah.
So we stayed in. And it was not much you can say about a mall. It's just bigger than the one you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's something that I would return to.
Were you a mall kid in high school? Were you like, would you go hang at the mall and like try to find boys and like...
try to find boys.
What do they call it? Cruising for boys at Hot Topic or whatever?
No, I wasn't cruising for boys at Hot Topic. I was busy working at the mall.
Oh,
me,
that's
sir.
Right. You were in retail.
Had many a mall job. Was a cereal retail employee.
That's right. We passed an
we
express.
We talked about this on Brooks Whelan's show.
We did.
And yeah, I worked at Express. I worked at Victoria's Secret. I worked at a mall salon. What else? I know I'm.
I
worked
wish I'd
at a
worked
place
at Wetzel's Pretzels. I'll tell you that right now.
I know. Mm. I had a friend who worked at Cinnabon, and she would always hook me and my friend Stacy up. What up, Stacy? I know you're listening.
How them buns, girl?
Yeah, we would always leave our salon, our mall salon job, and we'd be like, nobody's coming in here, and we totally like lower the gate halfway and just go.
Just go ham on
Cinnabon.
Some buns.
Yeah. By the way, those things are literally more than like your daily caloric whatever. They're just insane. Yeah. They're like eating toxic sludge. That's really, really sweet and tastes really
good. I know,
it's and
so
smells
good.
Really good.
Yeah,
and
you're not convincing me to not eat it at all.
I know.
Like,
I would
still so good.
I would always feel so horrible afterwards, and it never stopped me because at that point in time, my metabolism wasn't against me, and I could eat whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, and now that's just not the case.
I used to play mental games with myself to allow myself to eat Cinnabons. You know how they have like the big one, the standard Cinnabon, and then they would pour icing on it. You could ask for extra icing, which should not even be, the government should get involved and not allow that. But they had the slide of five of them, the little like the Cinnabon sliders
the flight,
that you can get.
The flight of buns.
And I would say, I would get those. And for some reason in my head, it was okay to eat five of those little ones and more so than eating one big one. I'm like, I'm barely eating Cinnabons right now. eating five mini ones. It was still like 3,000 calories.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, and it's not even just about the calories. You just feel fucking terrible after you eat Cinnabon.
I think I was like 28 before I even noticed a connection between how I felt and the food I ate. I would just eat everything. And then if I felt bad, I'd be like, man, something else must be wrong.
Yeah, something in the atmosphere. Who knows? Couldn't possibly be that I just chowed down on a flight of buns.
Yeah. But thank you for, I was very happy that you were there because I ate significantly healthier than I would have if you had not been
and it's
there.
Not like I've got a tight leash on this dude.
No,
I'm not
no.
monitoring what you
no,
order.
But you keep my stomach honest and you're not like a I mean I don't want to look gross so yeah. I will eat like
Julian's kind
garden
of like the girl
and...
in the relationship. He's like so embarrassed about farting and pooping and eating and I'm just like I don't care.
No. We have a great friend.
Yeah, we
today,
do.
And his name is Christian Duguay. He's a writer and comedian and showrunner. He was a
showrunner
of a show that I won't
hot
mention
dad.
Because it'll be up to him if he wants to mention it. He is a hot dad, but we get into that a little bit. And
also a comedy husband.
He is he mentions his very talented and funny stand-up and actress wife, Emily Maya Mills, who is a delight. And we're going to talk to him about, like, some new wave.
Yeah.
So let's do it. Hi, Christian.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's Duguay,
we
right?
We all found our headphones.
We did.
So three people sitting here looking super official doing the whole podcast thing.
Did you just say it's Duguay, right?
Yeah.
That's a great introduction for me. Hey, we got Christian. It's Duguay, right?
Well, no,
we just found this dude on the street.
We're very close friends, and I wasn't sure.
Yeah, but that's how close we are. He can't pronounce my name.
I was going to say.
I want to say Makula.
What a way.
It is
Makula.
Actually. Thank you. It probably is. No, the reason I ask is because I'm like, maybe I'm the one that has just been saying it wrong this whole time, and you've been too nice.
No, you know, there's people, a lot of my close friends don't know how to say my name. In fact, especially
what are common mispronunciations?
Duguay. Everyone says Duguay.
That would be my guess.
Except at pavilions, they have it in the system as Puguay.
Love that.
Puguay. It's great.
Oh, man, you're like you're not in elementary school.
And they always pause. I go, thank you, Mr. Puget, Puget. Make him say it every time.
And then you go, it's Peugeot. Yeah. Ooh, pavilions. Somebody's doing all right.
Yeah, pavilions. Fancy. Is that a fancy grocery store?
I think I always think it is. I don't know.
Someone's buying groceries.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're recently converted Costco folks, so.
Yeah, she's saying that like it's not
a
big deal.
I want to do that. I want to do that. I
think it's totally worth it.
It's awesome.
How much is it for a membership?
Who cares?
This is a good time for a commercial for Costco. How much is a membership?
Throw a sponsorship our way. It's $150 for the executive. And
but you get it back.
You get it back.
What's the executive give you?
There's like a normal membership that's like, I don't know, 60
the executive
or 80,
is just like, I can be talked into things. I'll spend $150.
Pretty much.
It's like a tax for
it all started.
And you need to sexually harass the interns.
It all started because we were in the parking lot.
They give you a suit.
We were in the parking lot of Best Buy and Costco, and we were gonna go buy a bigger TV.
Yeah,
and we're gonna go to Best Buy, and Julian was like, maybe we should just see what's happening at Costco. And I've always been pretty anti Costco.
Which one is it? It's the one that's over by you guys.
Violently anti Costco.
So.
Why?
I was like,
why are you against
her?
Because I didn't like living down the street from it. But now that there's some distance, I feel more okay about
Christ,
it.
Is there anything worse than getting stuck in a Costco parking lot?
There is not.
Oh, my God.
Unless you're a fan of Costco
pizza.
Way
on a freeway. I've had to turn around, and every time I have to turn around outside of town, I wind up in a Costco parking lot.
It's pretty bad.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So we were like talking about getting a bigger TV. We go in. We leave this place. We've opened up a credit card.
You guys can be talked into anything.
We bought a TV 10 inches larger than what was at our, I would say, our ceiling for what we were browsing for. So we drove into that parking lot with no expectations.
And we left $500.
Yeah.
Oh, way more than $500.
Because
we were also like, we need 8 pounds of dry pasta, right?
Yeah.
Like, who knows what could
That is something that happens to you.
Yeah.
We also got a bunch of diabetes medication. We don't even have diabetes.
Yeah.
So we got a timeshare in Hawaii.
Yeah.
That's only kind of a joke. They have a travel...
Their travel catalog has become Julian's like nightstand reading.
They really have travel there?
Yeah, they have a travel catalog.
God,
because you get rewards on your Costco credit card if you book through Costco travel.
I know.
It's
crazy.
The decision making really goes out the window when you walk in that place.
It's crazy.
It does.
Membership at one point. I think I did that a long time ago.
I bet you did. You seem like you would.
Yeah. Sure, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Sure.
The catch on the vacations is you have to book 7 hotel rooms at once because everything's in bulk. So, but it works out. It works out if don't think about it.
I could never make plans. 7 hotel rooms.
No, that was a joke, Christian.
It always goes over my head. Oh, it always goes over my
head. That's why we're friends.
I'm gullible.
Well, we're so happy you're here because we like you personally before you showed up.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I like you guys,
which
too.
Is called a friend. And you were a friend. Do you know what Duguay means in French?
No. I bet
of
it's something like loyal. Yeah, that's what it means. Of the gays.
We asked you what your soft spot was. And
I told you, and your producer said, you're boring us already.
Well, tell us what that one was. He shields us from boring soft spots.
Anything you want to talk about? And I said, I love to watch old 1970s Rams football games on YouTube. And he was like, can you give me something pop culture? Because I don't think we have time to research. What would you have to research? Like, go and learn what football is?
Yeah, he's like, my computer just fell asleep when I got that email.
No, but you came in with a very solid... Second choice. Your soft
but
spot.
Can I just say real quick?
Yeah.
That I understand that because boys do tend to be lulled into a wonderful sense of security watching old football footage. Is like
it's amazing.
It's how you can like calm any beast.
You don't know who wins in the '70s. It's like all new games, and you get to watch Michelob
and
commercials.
And it's in slow motion.
I do love old commercials, man.
Old commercials are amazing.
It's worth it just for the commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet. Just
yeah, when we go to the live Golden Girls show that we've talked about a couple times on this show. Yeah.
We went through all of the old commercials, but what was that one? AIDS?
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate AIDS, the diet supplement. And it was like, add some AIDS to your day.
Really bad timing.
The easy way.
Really, and it's like, and lose the weight forever.
It was crazy. Yeah. There were all these like Bill Cosby ones.
It literally came out right before AIDS became an epidemic.
It did,
Or at least known epidemic.
Well, Christian, it would have been fucked up if it came out right after.
Good point. Good point. Thanks for calling me out on that. I appreciate it.
Okay, but you did give a great backup when he asked for pop culture.
Oh, yeah.
Which was?
OMD Crush, the album Crush.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah. Specifically that album.
Well, because
you
said simple,
you texted me Simple Minds.
Well, Simple Minds is another way, you know, Alive and Kicking. Or what was the name of that album? Alive and Kicking. It was, I don't know. Every Simple Minds is like Sparkle something. It's everything sparkling and shining on.
And then you also mentioned Strange Ways Here We Come by the Smiths.
I mean,
Meg is wearing
that was
Smith
one
shirt.
Of them. That's one of the albums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you like that
I
album?
I love that album. Yeah. We were talking about it this morning because
we were listening
to
it this morning.
Yeah, we were listening to it this
morning.
I
listened to it a little bit too, and I realized that I don't know which songs are on which Smiths albums because it's kind of confusing because there's only like four albums, right?
Because it's top to bottom quality. So it's like, who cares, you know?
Although I don't know what any of the songs are about.
They're all about just, you know, what are they about?
I sometimes think they're about the really queen. Like a lot of dedications to his own narcissism, kind of like, I just feel like
that's a good way of articulating it. You're right. I think that
he's
kind
of like,
what those are about.
I'm selfish. How do you like that?
Yeah.
There's definitely a very like, I'm a hopeless creature in this world who cannot seem to find a love that's worthy of my sensitivity.
Because I'm the best hopeless creature.
Yes. And I'm in an ivory tower of loneliness. And here's my songs. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's what it is. I get annoyed when people say that he's just like sad. And it's like, why would you want to listen to that sad? He's 70% of his lyrics are jokes.
I know. He's like a crazy joke writer.
Yeah.
If you listen to Strange Ways, I feel like there's some pretty, like, let's think of...
Paint a Vulgar Picture is the...
That's the one I was listening to today.
Yeah, I love that song.
I'm trying to figure out, is that about an actual fan, or was he a fan, and he's singing about someone else that he loved?
It's a comment.
Loved.
I thought it was... It's basically a comment on being a young person and being a fan of these, you know... Are you asking if there's a specific story that he's actually drawn from?
The thing about that song is there's such specificity in that song. And so it seems like he's singing about like someone he was really into when he was a kid, but then he says like MTV and BB, you know, so.
Yeah, it's basically he's saying, you know, we love these artists. And in Meg's point about him dedicating to his own narcissism, you know, he's kind of singing about himself. Obviously, he's singing about being the artist.
Oh, okay. So
he's also
singing
about being the kid that loves the artist. But he's saying like, but let's be honest, I'm the best one.
He's
so,
his own god.
You know, but he's basically saying,
can I just tell you there are so many lists on the internet of like the funniest ranking the funniest Smiths lyrics?
Oh,
just look this up.
The funniest.
I'm like, yeah.
Okay. What's number one?
It never fails. I always think, what a wordsmith. Let me get my hands on your mammary glands.
Yeah.
Who says that?
I know.
Who says that?
Not a straight man.
Not
that's
a
for
straight
sure.
man.
But just to finish my point, Paint a Vulgar Picture is about fandom and the innocence and the devotion of fandom and how it gets exploited by the record companies. How can we possibly soak this person for as much money as we can? That's why he says at the record company meeting, on our hands a dead star, and how, like...
And they take advantage of that,
reissue,
right?
Reissue, repackage, reevaluate the song. So they're just, like, how many times can we put this out and how many times can we sell it to the same devoted fan base?
And they have a lot of compilation albums, don't they?
They do. They're all top quality.
That was the funny thing about Smith's albums back then was I remember I was in high school when the Smiths, like in 1986 and 1987, and I was 16 in 1986.
16 and 19. Oh, it's perfect. Yeah. You went to high school when all the movies were in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Breakfast Club. Was,
yeah, yeah. Fast Times and all. Well, that's a little earlier. But yeah.
Well, Fast Times was a lot earlier. I think I was, when Fast Times came out, I think I was 12.
Ask Meg how old she was in 1986. Go ahead, ask her.
Meg, how old were you?
Well, it depends on when specifically yeah. you're talking about in 1986, because my age was still being counted in months, probably.
Fair enough.
But I love that time, and I love people from that time.
Yeah, I know.
And I showed up in my Smith shirt, and yeah. So
where was this? Where'd you go to high school?
It wasn't that great a time, you know?
No.
I mean, it was okay.
Don't tell me that, because in my head, it's the peak.
Well,
time
yeah, but,
of all
I mean,
time.
When I think of the 80s, I think of, like, Emily has a really funny joke about that mm. I won't do, but she's got a good point. It's like, when we were
Emily
that
is...
age, and my wife,
yes,
my wife.
And also
she, but, you know, we were very depressed in high school. So, like,
yeah.
when we think of the 80s, it's like, yeah, all this stuff is cool, but, you know... She like her dad was sleeping in the kitchen.
Yeah. Oh man. Like,
her 80s were very different yeah. than the John Hughes 80s. That's great.
Well, I guess John Hughes 80s were, I mean, like Breakfast Club was about some pretty depressed kids.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we still dressed up like them. Like, I remember when I came out, we all wanted to dress like Judd Nelson. Mm-hmm.
I just can't stop picturing the picture of you that's in your house as you're telling me this stuff. We're going to need to get a picture of that picture
yeah.
so that we can
my
put it
kids,
on the...
My poor kids. Because Emily dug that out of the garage. My mom sent it to me. And it was like a studio portrait of me with this hot pink guitar
yeah.
and this kind of Duran Duran hat on.
Yeah.
And it was, I wish I could say it was a joke, but it was not a joke.
There is nothing in the look in your eyes, there is nothing that says this is a joke.
I think you walked by the portrait and you went, I'm trying to figure out who is this.
Exactly.
Because you were like, is this like a famous guitar player?
Yeah, I thought
player?
It was like,
I was like
time,
no, that's a dork or something. That's a dorky picture
house,
of me.
Julian took it off the wall and came up to me and goes, can you believe this? And I was like, which band is that?
By the way,
and
it's not
like,
a small picture.
It's Christian. Yeah,
it's,
he took this.
It's a large frame.
Size.
And I took it around the party
size.
And I was like, hey, did you guys know this was Christian
well,
when he was 16?
I blame my mom for blowing it up to be that size. My mom worked in a framing shop.
Don't you mean you thank your mom?
I thank her, yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was a picture framer. And so she blew up a lot of our photos and mm-hmm. framed them as, you know, samples in the shop. And that was one of them. And every time I walk into the shop, I'd see that and be like, can you put that back?
Oh, man.
She hung it in the shop?
Yeah.
She was, like, advertising yeah. her work with, I love that.
We are going to post this picture when we, can we, do we have your permission
sure.
to post that picture
sure.
online?
Sure.
Okay. Because I was going to stop this right now, and we'd all leave if we weren't allowed to.
Now, when you search
thing.
My name, you will find this weird director, by the way. There's this French director who comes up when you search my name.
Oh, yeah?
He's the worst.
Oh, no.
He just has, like, 11 scarves on in every picture.
Oh,
oh man.
And let's post that instead.
And no. then you'll find this picture.
Yeah. But we're going to post it. So if you're listening to this episode, you've already seen the picture, I would assume. Right?
Probably,
that's how
yeah.
it works?
Yeah.
So... here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
The hat. Was this a hat you already owned, or you bought it for the studio portrait?
I owned the hat. I bought the hat at Chess King. Everything mm-hmm. I'm wearing is from Chess King.
What is Chess King?
Chess King was, I don't know if they had it on the West Coast, but on the East Coast, it was like a dude's high school, like it's where you bought like parachute pants.
Oh.
And you bought like... You bought hats and just kind of like funky clothing.
The necessities.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist anymore. But I think it might have just been an East Coast thing.
Right.
But like, you know those members only jackets?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's where you would buy them when they were
this
actually...
place sounds like it should come back.
You're well, right. Chess King should yeah. come back.
I don't let Julian clown on you too hard because I have some pictures of him with like a dangly cross earring and
yeah.
a Greek fisherman hat on. So we all have dark
we
past.
All no, I just realized I could be being misinterpreted right now that I was taking that picture on the party to make fun of you. I love this picture. I'm like obsessed with it.
Yeah. That's
I love
like,
it.
I like it as an archive of my frame of mind that you know like mm-hmm. just as it really sums up my confusion at that time.
I don't
know. Like I didn't know
when
I
was
wasn't
16,
sure who I was. I didn't know my identity. I played guitar.
You just knew you wanted to fuck that camera.
Yeah, yeah. I really wanted to be a guitarist, you know, mm-hmm. and I ended up going to school and studying music, which is the worst thing you can do if you want to be in a band.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Hey, absolutely. Studying art is the worst thing you can do if you want to be an artist.
No, you're a great artist, though. It worked for you. I don't think I've ever asked you this.
What?
Were you like a rebel in the art school program, or were you?
You mean in college?
Yeah. Like creatively, were they like, we got to rein you in, girl?
No. I don't think so. I think that once you get to art school and you're around people that have made the choice to focus on that, everybody's pretty weird.
Okay.
I think art school is a different thing. I think that makes a lot of sense, especially if you're going to, you know, a specific discipline.
Right.
With music, I mean, studying music production makes sense, but really even then, you can, you know, going and working as an assistant to an engineer is probably better than studying at school. But I could be wrong about that. I think a lot of the people that went and studied guitar when I went there, there were just thousands of guitar players. Guitar was huge mm-hmm. at the time. And I think that a lot of people, you know, you went for like 2 or 3 years and then you left.
Berkeley?
Graduating wasn't really on anyone's mind. They just wanted to learn what they could and then leave.
Yeah, because no one looks at your guitar degree and they're like, you're hired for YouTube. Or like you go try out for Metallica and they're like, okay, and once we see your diploma, we're good to go. Yeah.
I see jazz theory here, but mm-hmm. I don't see a degree.
Were you in a band back then?
I played in a band.
What were they called?
They were called The Singles.
You can't really make fun of that.
I know. I was going to say, that's a pretty solid name. I was really hoping for something.
Is it because you didn't have nobobody had a girlfriend?
I didn't name them. It was two guys from Harvard and two guys from Berkeley. And we just played Harvard dances.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it, what kind of music would you play at the dances?
It was covers. What did we play? I remember we played some Police songs.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Sting song in there.
Around Your Heart?
What was it? It was, what was that big Sting album? Was it Dream of the Blue Turtles? It was something off of there. We were pretty good. We were okay. The singer was a Rhodes Scholar.
Getting too many panties tossed at the stage. Or maybe you were.
Yeah.
Now, I remember one dance, it was just a bunch of dudes at the edge of the stage that were just watching the fingering of the guitar
trying to figure out
how to play certain songs.
Oh, yeah, man. I've been to shows like that, definitely. You know, there's bands that are just like for dudes. Yeah.
Like a band composed of mathletes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if you go to like the National or like Built to Spill, it's a lot of guys staring at the guitar work.
I remember no one liked the singer at Harvard. They all thought he was kind of like I don't know. He was a really nice guy,
mm-hmm.
but everyone seemed to have a problem with him whenever we were walking around campus.
You didn't have a problem with him?
Oh, hi, Andy. Oh, hi. Oh, Andy. Here comes Andy with his band. You know, like they all hated him. But okay, he was a nice guy.
So you didn't play? Can you even play something like OMD? Because I feel like they are. And I don't know anything about music, but they seem to be
keyboard
like geniuses at keyboard and like.
Yeah, you're right. It's like high production. Mm-hmm. It's high production music. You know, it's a lot of sequencing and a lot of keyboard stuff. So it's like it was really funny. What was the movie where OMD played the dance?
Pretty in Pink.
And it was like they didn't have a band. They just had like a big machine or something that they were playing.
Like a refrigerator with knobs.
It made no sense at all. I mean, that's a great album. I think it's a great album.
Let's play. What's one of your favorite tracks from it? Because I don't know that.
OMD's
weird because I feel like we know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people that they're one of those bands where when you play them, they have a few songs that people know that they didn't know was OMD.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, someone ruined this album for me when I went to music school. Because I love this album, I love every song on it. And he was like, there's like two good songs on it. And it's the two singles.
I thought you were going to say that a girl did that.
Yeah, I was going to say a lady killer or
I definitely had someone ruin all this music for me.
imagine.
Yeah, all this music takes me back to a real.
So the singles did have a
piece
groupie.
Of work,
yeah.
Huh?
She was an art student, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
They always are.
Let's see. Secret. Oh, no.
It's
so
cool.
In Love.
I'm
is
pretty sure
mine.
I ruined Strange Ways for a guy, so oh, definitely.
Oh, cool. I love hearing about that. So.
Are we playing a song?
Yeah,
yeah. Please.
Okay. Well, this is a single everyone. So in Love.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah. Sounds like it's.
There are no actual drums.
Like I'm listening to it in a concert hall that's down the street.
I know.
You guys can play songs on your podcast? That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's illegal, but I think we're under the radar still.
Yeah. Well, I think if we keep talking over it, it's legal. There's
yeah,
some
rule
about
that.
Yeah,
we have to talk about the song, the idea.
So this is OMD, So In Love.
I love this song.
Yeah.
Julian plays this song all the time.
Well, here's the problem. I'm sitting in my car. I got a lady next to me, and I'm so in love. So I put on the song. And if that's too on the nose, then I am sorry.
So
I'm sorry.
We all had bought like these long raincoats to look like Judd Nelson, and you would have a Walkman in your pocket.
Yeah, it's a simpler time when you could all wear a bunch of trench coats into a school.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Everybody just thought you were a band.
Jeez, no kidding. Now when I see anyone in a trench coat, I'm like, let's get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, like in the old days, it was like, oh, maybe this guy will jerk off at me. But now, it's so much worse.
Well, at that age, a trench coat in school meant that you were just trying to look like. Judd Nelson.
Yeah.
Breakfast Club. Yeah. As long as you had a handkerchief hanging out of one mm-hmm. pocket.
Did you ever get a cigarette, a fake cigar burn on your arm to look like
no,
you
I got a real
in the garage?
One, man. Real burned arm to cigars.
So what is this song? First of all, you are a musician. There's no real drums ever in these songs, right? This is all programmed?
I don't know if there's real drums in this song. I can't really. I've never thought about it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of this stuff probably isn't. But I think that some of them probably do have live drums.
What I love about OMD is they seem to be very. They're extremely electronic, but very emotional to me. Like very like sentimental
yeah, in
sounding.
Fact, it kind
and
of,
the melodies are really pretty.
It's kind of reminiscent of the Smiths in a way. I just realized the
yeah,
way he's singing.
I think also. There's something with those vocals where they hit those notes. I mean, I'm not a music person. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think there's something really nice about a guy who's willing to hit really high notes, not necessarily sing an all high, hey, Maroon 5, I'm talking to you. But, you know, like hit higher notes and it feels really emotional and organic.
Yeah.
And I think there's something about that that also Morrissey does whenever he...
Yeah.
Sings. But who knows, maybe I am using all the wrong terms and don't know what I'm saying.
No, yeah, I love the vocals definitely work, and they're very human.
It feels
they're
vulnerable,
very human
yes.
Vocals on
yes.
a very electronic.
Yeah, there's a lot of longing in
there is. So who's the, so what happened, why does, did you meet someone and she said, check out OMD?
I didn't meet,
or
well,
did you?
I didn't meet her. I went to high school with her, mm-hmm. and then we met up again. I didn't really know her. We were going to play together. I didn't really know her. She was a year older than me, and I ran into her in Boston. She was going to the Boston Museum mm-hmm. as a student, and I was really into this album. I was into The Cure at the time, and what else? There was the Sign of the Times, Prince Sign of the Times.
Oh, yeah.
And all three of those albums were ruined. It was
man, she did a number on you.
Should I tell you what happened?
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
New Year's Eve, 1988.
Oh, good year.
She had this townhouse in Cambridge that her uncle owned, and some dudes from the school came over. That night, and right around 1 o'clock, I'd fallen asleep. I was getting drunk, and I woke mm-hmm. up. I went up to the third floor, and I heard someone in there, and she was having sex with a dude in the bathroom.
Oh no!
Oh.
With me in the house.
No.
And I remember
what?
I was like, "I'm out of fuck you!" And I, you know,
yeah.
I got my bag, and it was Christmas vacation. I remember, so the dorms were closed. I had nowhere to go, so I was just walking around in the snow.
So you guys were like dating, and then she did that.
Oh, she was my girlfriend. Yeah.
man. Yeah. Oh, man.
Have you ever Googled her to see what she's up to?
I talked to her years ago. She contacted me on Facebook. And I don't know, kind of, you know, made up. I mean, it was, I was, we were 17. She was 18 at the time. But
she was like, hey, you silver fox. I sure am sorry I boned that guy in the bathroom.
so you took your pink guitar.
The dude was like 35 years old, too. He was like way too old for her.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you just took your pink guitar and your fedora and you were like, so I am out of here.
I still had my coat from high school, too. I remember I had like a, it wasn't really a trench coat. It was more like a, like a, you know, those London fog coats.
Like duster.
Had fleece on it.
Oh. Hey guys, we're going to tell you about Care.com.
Care.com.
It's, I love how you've become the DJ Khaled of every sponsorship.
I'm DJ Care.com.
Cool. He is DJ Care.com.
Care.com.
It's the world's largest digital marketplace for finding and managing family care. You can find care for everyone in your family, whether you need child care while you're at work or you want to line up a date night sitter. Hey, Julian. Care.com is for you. There's,
Care.com.
There's sitters, nannies, housekeepers, dog walkers, senior care, tutors, errand runners, and more. And you can get full-time, part-time, like anything that you need. And it's just a great way to make life simpler.
Did you say housekeepers?
I did.
Well, that is very interesting to me because no matter how hard I clean my house, I don't think I can do it right. Like, I have this weird paranoia where I'm like, this could be cleaner, and I just don't know how to do it.
It's very cool that you're talking to me like we live in separate houses.
we both know that I am like that, and I love having some. I love the feeling of coming home and your house is like sparkling clean. It just it lifts your whole spirit, and you're like, you know,
I love that I can get on here and sign up for housekeeping whenever I need it, and they're gonna come and they're gonna clean up all of the incense mess that is on every flat surface of our house because Julie McCullough loves him some incense.
I do. Hey, what can I say? It goes really good with Fleetwood Mac. I love that I can come home and all of the empty beverages that I people don't put in the trash will be gone. Anyway, so how do you get care.com? Well, you go to care.com, and luckily, because you're listening to our show, if you put in care.com/soft, S-O-F-T, when you subscribe, you can save 30% off a premium membership of care.com.
We're premium members, so you should do it too. To save 30% off of a care.com premium membership, like I said, we have one and it's so rad. Go to care.com/soft when you subscribe. That's soft, S-O-F-T.
Not to sound too obnoxious, but well, I don't know if I should even say this. I'm going to embarrass you. Never mind. I won't say it.
Oh, now I want to know what you're going to say. Well, and if it's horrible, like, we'll just edit
it
out.
I think Christian can. Yes, that's fine. We can edit this out if it's too embarrassing for you. And I think Christian can relate to it. Once you fall in love like I have with you, it wipes out kind of all memory of ever having any kind of affection for anyone else. So it's I don't remember having
really
songs
true.
Ruined for me because you would ruin every song in the world if you banged a 35-year-old in the
Now
attic.
We know who's wearing the pants.
Now we know who's wearing the short overalls. But yeah, it's like I know that there's been a time in my life where like, oh, I can't listen to this song anymore. It's bothering me, but I can't have it anymore.
That's a good point. Yeah, you know. It doesn't bother me now.
Yeah.
But I remember being bothered. I remember being in Boston and hearing one of those songs and thinking of her. In fact, Emily and I were just in Boston. She lived there, too. We found out that we lived two blocks away from each other in different years. But she went to Emerson, and I went to Berkeley. And we were walking around, and I was like, oh, that's where this shitty thing happened. She was like, oh, that's where, oh, my God, this shitty thing happened. We were like, this town sucks. I fucking hate Boston.
Yeah, really.
And it's a good city, but my memories of it, I just, it was pretty depressing.
Right.
Yeah.
Julian and I lived a block away from each other in New York at the same time.
At the same time before,
for how long?
Years before we met.
For like a little over a year, we overlapped there. Yeah.
And never.
Never met.
That's
never met.
Amazing.
I know. It's crazy.
You must have passed each other all the time.
Yeah,
I know. We always talk about that. It's so weird. Because when we go back, we always hang out mostly in the East Village. And we stay with a friend in the East Village. Mm-hmm. And we're constantly like, I was there all the time. I was there all the time. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild.
My theory is that I absolutely gave her a nice hard stare at some point, and she has that bitch face that you have to have in New York to survive.
I have an awful bitch face.
I didn't break through. That's my theory.
I liked that story when you guys met. Didn't you tell her that you were a comedian and she just thought you were like an open mic dude?
Yeah, she was like,
oh. I didn't even think that. I mean, I thought he worked at the Starbucks around the corner.
There's nothing wrong with
and there's nothing wrong with that. But I was like,
there's nothing wrong with that, but I would never date that person ever.
No. I think there's nothing wrong. I've heard actually they're really great employers, but maybe I'm wrong about that. No, I just thought like, I don't know. I've met so many guys who are like, I play guitar, or I'm an entrepreneur. Yeah. A lot of guys would say that, and I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And then they'd be like, I'm a sandwich artist, or something, you know, something like that. I'm like, it's just no disrespect, because I've had every job on this. Like, just, I've had some terrible ones. And I think there's nothing wrong with really any job as long as you're working.
Yeah.
But whenever you're a single mom and you're not looking to meet anyone and you're just trying to, like, keep your head above water in New York, you're probably not looking at having a crazy night with a guy who...
With a guy who's an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Or, you know, a guy who's got to be up at 5 a.m. to make lattes for all of the, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a real comedian.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had just come from a taping of Comedy Knockout, so I guess you could say
I'm
a real comedian.
My friend that was with me Googled him, and she was like, if anything happens to her, if she doesn't answer her phone tomorrow, I will blow you up on the internet.
I stole her into the night.
Oh, really?
Oh, did. Yeah. It was.
Nice.
Yeah. We're going to tell the whole story one day. We haven't done it on this podcast yet, but we will tell the whole story.
So I want to know if there are any of those songs now from that time. I wouldn't say that genre because, like we said, it's kind of hard to categorize. Do any of those remind you of Emily now? Or, like, do you guys have... Or even not of that time. Like, what songs remind you of Emily?
Well, we have, like, this playlist that we go to Maine every summer for about a week or so. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of, like, AM Gold, Yacht Rock type
of stuff. I keep waiting for an invitation to come to Maine with you two, and you never ask.
Oh, let's do it this coming summer. It'd be great. I mean, the kids are going to be there. It'll be fun.
I hope so. Otherwise, it'd be weird.
Let's do it. You guys can bring the kids. It'd be amazing.
Julian's always waiting for an invitation to literally everything, everywhere.
No, Maine is beautiful.
Yes,
and he knows somebody. You know, he's got a Maine guy.
Well, every summer we rent a different house on a different lake.
Oh,
and,
okay.
It's just through Airbnb, and always try to have a new experience. We get a pontoon boat, and we make these playlists on Spotify. But it's mostly like 70s stuff. A lot of, I like to say AM Gold, but
easy listening, smooth.
People say Yacht Rock. Yeah, I have a pretty varied.
It's making me think of one of my playlists. I think I get just as much joy out of naming a Spotify playlist as I do compiling the actual playlist.
I have one. Oh, you know what's cool is you can, I didn't know this. It's like, Dad, I didn't know that you could share playlists to it's out there, someone can just search for it. I have this playlist that's about 8 hours long.
Oh my God.
Whoa. And
hand it over,
is it one King Crimson song? Heyo! That joke was for four people.
I have, like, some of my...
There was this King Crimson album that I loved.
We can't talk about King Crimson. We'll lose literally all of our all of our listeners. I don't think any podcast out there has fewer people interested in talking about King Crimson.
I don't think anyone even knows who that is.
Probably not. If they're lucky, they don't know who it is.
Adrian Belew, does anyone know who that is?
No, absolutely not.
That's absurd.
What were you gonna say?
Like, what are your 70s?
Well, we've been
find this. I'm gonna
we've been to his house
playlist.
When he's played Paul Davis.
Oh, that's true.
He's got Cool Night
that's
on his.
That's true. He does have Cool Night on there.
And I was shocked that he knows that she knew Cool Night because it's like so.
My
not...
mom loved that
it
song.
It's what called it? AM Gold 2018.
Oh my!
Oh, is that what you play when we go to your house?
Yeah.
I need to follow that playlist.
My similar playlist is called Songs for Grabbing Butts and Slow Dancing.
I just want to return to that night that you had that happen, and that's so terrible. And it's weird to it's crazy because when you're 17, I'd say from like
it was
from
terrible,
like 13
yeah.
to like 22, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Every feeling you already have for minor stuff is so intense. Like mm-hmm. your emotions are just so vivid and so.
Try having a period.
I can't. I don't know how they did it. So. It's just crazy that like something that heartbreaking
yeah.
could be survived by a 17
year
old.
Oh no,
it's
I
just
remember
like,
feeling like
right.
every horrible thing that happened felt like how the
oh, no,
absolute
it was like the
end,
end
of the world.
Of the world. Yeah. I was madly in love. In that,
oh, know, that's brutal.
I remember walking across the Charles Bridge. I wasn't dressed for winter. I was just in tennis shoes.
Oh my
I was
God.
Covered in snow. And I remember sitting on the steps of the Christian Science building
mm-hmm.
Just because it was... the dramatic thing to do.
Wait, so this was just your science building?
Yes. Yes, I had a science building in Boston. I didn't
Dad
mention
jokes.
That.
Man.
I was a successful businessman with my own building. And I called it the Christian Science Building.
You know what? It's funny, though. Anytime something dramatic would happen to me then, and maybe even now sometimes, I would, like, lean into it. And, of course, you find the most dramatic place that you can sit down.
Yeah, I smoked at the time.
Oh,
I sat
yeah.
down and I smoked
yeah.
and... I had to get a ticket back to Maine because I had nowhere to stay. There,
oh, my God.
I couldn't go into my dorm room.
Christian.
God.
It sucked. Oh,
this sounds like a John
station.
Hughes movie.
I know.
There's a train and
this
there's
is...
chain smoking and the jacket and
yeah.
you've got like all,
yeah.
all the stuff.
I know. Yeah. Were they Nikes?
Well, this is a funny thing that happened too. I would often just go home when I didn't have anywhere to stay. And I remember I did it one too many times and my parents changed my room into my sister's room. And then my room was just like a doubled as a sewing area. So that was like a message
oh,
to me that I think their therapist told them, change his room so that he knows
yeah.
that he can't come home.
And then he had to stitch like... together your broken heart when you got home.
I was
night.
Like a day or two out the door, and my mom was like, we're renovating this.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is the guest suite now.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have no home.
I was a day out the door, and my dad was like, see ya. And he went to North Carolina. So that was a big one, too.
Yeah.
And he just left.
Oh, wow.
I didn't have a place to go back to the Thanksgiving after I went away to school, which
he
is
just
like.
Split immediately?
Oh, yeah. He couldn't wait to get out of my high school town. He hated it there. It was suburban, and he's not a suburban dude.
But were your parents together and then he left?
No.
Or they were just in the same... Okay.
Yeah.
Did it bother you that he left?
At the time, I didn't say anything bothered me. I was always like, everything's fine. I don't care.
But it was weird to go home and he wasn't there anymore, right?
Yeah, that was he could have told me.
Yeah. Oh, he didn't tell you?
No, I'm kidding. Christian! You're so sweet. What was I... Oh, but anyway, that's why, like, John Hughes, we're talking about that. And, like, I couldn't write... I would not want to write a movie or a show about being a teenager. I don't know how people could do it. Would you be able to do that?
I don't know. I've never, like, tried to write anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look back at anything I wrote then, everything seems so dark. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I don't understand... me too. And that's why I don't understand when, like, you meet high school kids that are like, I just really like happy music and parties and pep rallies and shit like that. And I'm just like, wait, so you don't listen to Nine Inch Nails and want to kill yourself every day? How is that possible?
I do think some people just, I don't know. It's weird. What you gain this, like, emotional intelligence during those years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people really lean into that and some people maybe hold on to the lighter things from childhood for a little bit longer. But obviously the three of us are, our rooms were torn right from underneath our feet. And,
yeah.
That is, I don't know. I think that's kind of telling. I mean, I was like the oldest kid, so I always felt like I gotta be, I've gotta be like the grown up or the role model or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that Yeah. Maybe if I had been a middle child or a younger child, I would have listened to a little more Britney Spears and kept things a little lighter.
But New Wave it was. And New Wave is a great soundtrack for those feelings, I think, because it's like, it's peppy. Like, the music is peppy, and it's like you can dance to it, and it's exciting, but all the lyrics are like...
But if you listen hard enough, it's still a real bummer.
Yeah, like, my parents took my bedroom. <It's>
like... Yeah, my kids are both 13. They're twins, boy and girl, and they really don't seem to have any of that depression, you know, that I had at that age.
You should do some bad stuff to them.
Yeah, take their bedrooms
What are you
going to
do with their bedrooms? Yeah.
They also don't have like bands that they love. Music's
That's
different
sad.
Now, you know. They just
I know.
Have
I wonder what do
there.
Kids do? Or do they just like songs? I guess or like I don't know.
I don't know. There's just no real allegiance to any specific style of music or any bands.
Huh.
I do think listening to more grown-up music probably had something to do with how moody and dark I would go.
That's possible. I wonder if that's part of it because my parents would play. There was no such thing as kids music or like easy music for us. Like
right.
It was, my dad was like jazz and country, like dark old country, like right out of the gate, you know?
Yeah.
Or blues. He played a lot of blues.
There wasn't a lot of music. My dad played banjo. He listened to a lot of bluegrass, but there were like three albums in my house. And one was John Denver live. Another was a Pablo Cruz album. And Introducing the Beatles.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Those three albums.
Yeah. That guy's not
That's
emotionally
like someone
conflicted.
Who's like, I don't know what I like.
Do your kids ever
like
go to concerts
say, Give
or
me
anything?
A sample of what music is.
Yeah,
yeah that's pretty weird.
I don't know what I like.
That's I do great. Think there are a lot of kids in high school that are like, I don't really know who I mean, maybe you're still so young and everything is still so new that maybe you just haven't found your thing yet. You know?
Yeah, that could be. That could be. My son is a keyboard player and he like writes music, but he's into he's really into video game music. Like, and he knows these composers, he knows who they are, and he knows the games and the sequences that
The retro so games? Retro games or current games?
Well, he's into retro games, but he's also into...
Because I like the old Nintendo, all that stuff. That's
so
a huge industry.
Yeah. There's a game called Earthbound that has, a famous soundtrack that he's really into.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes based on, game sequences and what do you call it when they play those scenes?
Cutscenes.
What do you play when you? Yeah, cutscenes.
Cutscenes.
Thank
yeah.
you,
mm-hmm.
Julian, for
no
being
problem.
Younger.
When I went to a Steep Canyon Rangers concert like 6 years ago, and they played like bluegrass versions of the Mario theme songs, and it was one of the best things
that's
I've awesome. Ever
heard. That's amazing.
So. I always like a reimagining of like video game music. I think that's pretty cool.
Zelda will break your heart every time you hear it. That's a beautiful.
I do remember that music. Yeah. Which one did you play? Ocarina of Time. That's the one I know.
I love that one. They're all good, but the original Zelda is the soundtrack that I love from the.
Yeah, it's
NES
after my
version.
Time. I only know Ocarina.
Oh yeah, you were like
I was
Pong.
Like,
you're like that Pong song
sweet.
Was good.
Man, we kind of got away from OMD.
I know. We did get away from OMD. But they do kind of have like a video game sound a little bit, if you think, like, you know.
Do they? I don't know.
I think because their music sort of, like you said, it's like a, you know, you expect to see like a big magical machine or computer or something. There is like this fantastical sort of thing when you're not really sure what a sound is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like.
You know, a cool thing about that album is, well, I guess it's not cool for them, but it really is the only album. They had an album after that, but it really
I thought they had a decent catalog. They really only had one album?
No, I think they had a few albums, but I don't think any of them really took off.
Oh,
I think there was one single in after that, and it was in...
Enola Gay is a pretty big song.
It was in... Oh, maybe I just don't know their music that well. Maybe it's just for me, like, I remember that
You're
album,
like, you know how the Beatles had that one song?
I mean, they have Help, and that's it. Help, and then, like, the Yellow Submarine movie,
and
that's all
they had.
Yeah, and
then everybody just started listening to Pablo Cruz.
Someone.
I always picture bands like OMD and Radiohead. I always picture it's a robot that has fallen in love, right? Mm-hmm. And then the heart is real in the robot, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, right. But then inside the heart is a tiny robot making the heart beat.
Wow. Yeah.
That's Someone what I'm talking high. About.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. I've never heard you say anything like that before. Is that...
I got a lot of layers.
Are you talking about the concept of
yeah,
of
like
an
the,
album?
The music, when I hear music, and I love this kind, any music that's like primarily electronic in nature and then has a high level of emotion to it, that's what I picture. I picture a robot with a real heart, with a robot inside the heart, making the robot, heart work.
I thought you were
describing a concept album that Radiohead had.
It probably is one. You know what? Turns out I read that. That was the OK Computer liner notes, and I am so sorry.
How did you feel about OK Computer versus the bands?
I couldn't believe it was one band could make that many great sounds. I loved it so much.
I liked it. I liked it, but I loved the bands.
I was 20 when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the Benz is great, too.
Yeah, that's the one that I was really into. And then OK Computer. You know, it's funny. Like when a band really hits, their next album, like when it hits you at a certain age, the next album is always like, you can't really match the album before
I think that's true. I do love Radiohead.
Yeah.
Got to end it?
We got to wrap it up, yeah.
It's probably good for me to not get into Radiohead because I would talk about it a lot.
Would you say that it's like a robot? And I'm
do you like how do you feel about the song High and Dry?
I really like that song, and I think about all the movies and stuff that it's been in. I like it for like the nostalgia of it, but if I were to hear it for the first time today, I don't know that I would really love it. I think the thing that I like so much about Radiohead is how their sound progressed, and it was always something that I liked. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that many bands have, like, that I've been able to stick with them through such major sound changes. Because if you compare Radiohead now or anything that they've done in the last 5 or 10 years to their first stuff, it's not even, like, it's so hard to believe that it's coming from the same band.
Yeah.
And I like all of it. I've never been disappointed by any of their albums. So, there were songs here or there where I was like, this one isn't as good. But for the most part, I really love all of their stuff.
Yeah, I respect it. I just don't put it on. But I like it when I hear it.
Yeah.
Basically.
I think Thom Yorke is like an actual genius.
Yeah.
I really think he's doing good stuff.
I'm waiting for him to team up with our favorite Icelandic singer and make a band called Thom Björk. I feel like that would be the best
Björk
of both
is
worlds.
Another great example of someone whose sound has changed, although not as much as Radiohead's.
Yeah.
But I've always been like everything. And man, that's also music where there are a lot of computer sounds or, you know, whatever. But her voice, and there's just so much vulnerability there. Like, it's really beautiful.
Some would say too much. I've heard seeing her live, like the Vespertine thing was like
Volnicura was like a really hard album just to listen to. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what it would have been like to see.
She did it with no microphones.
And it was right after a really painful split.
Yeah, with
so,
Matthew Barney.
Yeah.
Well, Christian, thank you for dredging up the most painful memory of your teen life.
And thank you for Julian for bringing it back up after we totally went on to different topics, and then he was like, to your heartbreak, Christian.
Yeah, I think a lot of that stuff's gonna get edited, but I think that I picture you walking home with not enough clothes on after just having your heart broken, and OMD is So In Love playing in your headphones, and it's heartbreaking and it's wonderful, and it's what this show is all about.
Thanks for reliving it.
Thank you, Christian.
Thanks,
guys.
A soft spot.
Yeah, please.
It's a good show.